On this day in 1800, Congress held its first session in Washington, D.C., in the partially completed Capitol building. That was in the year 1800. In 1869, the Suez Canal opened in Egypt, linking the Mediterranean and the Red Seas. On this day in 1934, Lyndon B. Johnson married Claudia Alta Taylor, better known as Lady Bird. In 1962, Dulles International Airport in Washington, D.C. was dedicated by President John F. Kennedy. And on this day in 1968, NBC outraged football fans by cutting away from the final minutes of a game to air a TV special, Heidi, on schedule. Viewers were deprived of seeing the Oakland Raiders come from behind to beat the New York Jets 43-32. And in 1970, the Soviet Union landed an unmanned, remote-controlled vehicle on the moon. Those are some of the events that have taken place on this day in history. The weather for Wausau today, sunny with a high near 48. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 27. Wednesday, a 30% chance of rain. Afternoon, mostly cloudy with a high near 47. Right now in Wausau with fair skies, it's 29 degrees at 8:59. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse Radio. It is Tuesday, and it's time for our verse by verse study in the Bible, which we do every morning at 9 o'clock. And we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we pick up our study today in verse 13. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 13. So if you have a Bible and you can follow along, that would be great. And while you're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, let me say that the views and the opinions of this program are solely the views of myself and may not be the same as that of our management group, the Friends of WNRBLP, or our owners, the Wausau Area Hmong Mutual Association. And Father, now I pray that you would bless your word, that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And you say your word does not come back to you void. I pray that it wouldn't today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Paul is talking about spiritual gifts in the church. All the different gifts that the Holy Spirit gives different Christians for use in the church. And some of these gifts were especially important for the early church because they didn't have the completed scriptures yet. So they needed to get the word of God some way, and it was through prophecy and through revelations and through even speaking in tongues and the interpretation of those tongues. So with that little bit of a background, let's pick it up in let's begin reading in verse number 12 of 1 Corinthians 14. So it is with you. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. And they were eager for spiritual gifts, especially the showy gifts, like speaking in tongues. That's what they were majoring in, to an extreme, an unbiblical extreme, and to the point where a lot of it wasn't even operating by the power of the Holy Spirit. It was just a counterfeit. But and what he's saying is make the most of the spiritual gifts that do the most good for the most Christians, is what he is saying here. So it is with you. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in the gifts that build up the church. Use those gifts that do the most Christians the most good. Verse 13. For this reason, anyone who speaks in tongues or in a tongue, should pray that he may interpret what he says. Well, yeah, because at least that way, others will know what God the Holy Spirit has said in an unknown language. Verse 14. He says, "For if I pray in a tongue," that is, if I pray in an unknown language, "my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful." Praying in tongues, the legitimate gift of praying in tongues, is the Holy Spirit bypassing our minds and using our mouths to pray directly to the Father. It is absolutely perfect prayer because it totally bypasses man's flesh. It totally bypasses our minds, our sin nature. So there's no chance of that prayer ever being corrupted. It is God the Holy Spirit in us praying to God the Father about, I don't know what. Who knows? Whatever needs to be prayed about. 15. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. Balance is very important in the Christian life. You know, as a rule, it's best to avoid extreme positions on biblical issues. As a rule, if you avoid the extremes, chances are you're going to be on target. Verse 16. If you are praising God with your spirit, how can anyone who finds himself among those who do not understand say amen to your thanksgiving, since he doesn't know what you are saying? You may be given thanks well enough, but the other man is not edified. Yeah, speaking in tongues is good. Praying in tongues is a good thing. But it's only good for the one who's doing it. As we saw last time, the one who speaks in tongues edifies themselves, because it's the Holy Spirit in them praying. Well, of course, that's going to be edifying to the one who's doing it, even though he doesn't or she doesn't understand what in the world's being said. It's still an edifying thing. But it doesn't edify others because they're sitting around listening to somebody speak in a foreign language. It doesn't do them any good. Verse 18. He says, "I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you." And so much for putting down the gift of tongues, which some people do. I mean, I've heard fundamentalists put it down and talk about it as if it's something evil and being a selfish thing. Well, you know, the Apostle Paul says, "I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all." The Apostle Paul was not selfish. 19. But in the church, and here's the important verse, "but in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue." The hour or so that Christians meet for church on Sunday morning should be used in the most efficient way, and that would be communicating the Word of God in an understandable way. That's why, I mean, we have our church service on Sunday morning, which, by the way, you're invited to if you need a place to worship. We meet on Sunday mornings at Island Place, which is right next to Oak Island here in Wausau, at 10 o'clock. And our church service lasts about, maybe 55 minutes, something like that. But there's no downtime. Really, there's no wasted time. We begin with prayer. We begin with prayer, and then we go to communion. And then we have some songs. And then I immediately begin to teach the Word of God for maybe 30 or 35 minutes, verse by verse. It's only an hour at the very most, 50, 55 minutes. And that time should not be wasted. And the vast majority of our time is studying the Word of God, is letting God speak to us through His Word. And that's the way it should be. We have to redeem the time when we are together, make the most of it, And the Corinthians were wasting a lot of time. They were having long church services. But most of it was just a waste of time. They would have been better off staying at home in bed. Verse 20. Brothers, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants. But in your thinking, be adults. In other words, grow up spiritually. Be innocent when it comes to evil. And be strong and mature at being holy. 21. In the law it is written, through men of strange tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people. But even then, they will not listen to me, says the Lord. The Israelites had rebelled against God more than once. And he warned them that a sign of his judgment against them for their rebellion would be that they would have people from foreign countries in their land speaking languages that they didn't understand. So it was a sign of God's judgment. And here it's referring to speaking in tongues in the church. And we can make an application because notice what it says here. Through men of strange tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people. But even then, they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Miracles will not cause a sinner to repent if the word of God won't cause a sinner to repent. Miracles won't cause a sinner to repent if a person's heart is hard against God. So anybody who thinks, well, this person would get saved, this person would come to Christ if he just heard somebody speak in tongues, in a language that he never learned. What a miracle that is. That'll bring him to Christ. No, it doesn't. God says they still won't believe. 22. Tongues, then, are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for believers, not for unbelievers. Prophecy refers to communicating the word of God. And he says prophecy, or communicating the word of God, is for believers. That's what's for believers, more than speaking in tongues. The church is for Christians, and Christians need to be fed the word of God more than they need to be tickled by some supposed supernatural thing, such as speaking in tongues. And I say supposed because today especially, but even back then, there's a lot of phony tongue talking going on. Verse 23. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues and some who do not understand or some unbelievers come in, will they not say you are out of your mind? I'm glad God said that because it's true. They sure will. And it happens today as well. I've seen it. A lost soul looking for truth stumbles into a charismatic or a Pentecostal church and hears a bunch of people babbling gibberish, supposedly speaking in tongues. And that sinner thinks, what in the world? Are these people all out of their mind or what? Get me out of this place. It's a madhouse. It happens. And it's a dirty shame that nonsense like that is done in the name of Christ, because then those people often get turned off to Jesus and they think, this is Christianity? I don't want anything to do with it. That's not Christianity. It's a fleshly substitute. 24. But if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everybody is prophesying, he will be convinced by all that he's a sinner and will be judged by all. So if that same lost soul walks into a church where the word of God is being proclaimed, well, all of a sudden, it's going to start making him think. The Holy Spirit is going to start to work on him. It'll click with him. The word of God will click in his mind, and perhaps he'll get saved. 25. And the secrets of his heart will be laid bare, so he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. The word of God cuts right to the heart and convicts people of their sin and their need of a Savior. The word of God works, which is why it should be the major part of any church service. 26. What then shall we say, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. In other words, a good, balanced, Christ-centered church service with music and the Word of God is the biblical way to go. 27. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two, or at the most three, should speak, one at a time, and someone must interpret. In other words, he's telling them, get rid of the chaos in the church. Don't turn church into a circus. Verse 28, if there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in church and speak to himself and to God. Okay, don't waste people's time, is what he is saying. Don't waste their time when they come to church. People come to worship and to be edified, and that 1 hour on Sunday morning is very important. So that's the way the service should go. Give the people what they need. Don't waste their time. I've been in church services in my life that have gone on for an hour and a half or 2 hours, and most of it is just nonsense. If they would have cut out all the excess garbage, we could have a nice, decent church service and been in and out of there in 50 minutes, or 45 minutes for that matter. So much wasted, empty verbiage and nonsense. It doesn't have anything to do with Christ. Just don't waste people's time. Verse 29, two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. In other words, there needs to be discernment in the church. Just because someone says, I have a word from God, doesn't mean they have a word from God. In fact, if someone says that today, I'd say, no thanks. You know, no thanks. I already have the real Word of God in Scripture, and He says He's done writing it. It's good to remember, we have the complete Word of God in the Bible, which the early church didn't have. So beware of pious-sounding people who say, God spoke to me. I had somebody in church just last week, somebody who walked in off the street, and he was telling me that he was God's prophet. And he had a special assignment from God. And he was God's prophet. I said, okay, stop right there. Then show me the sign of a prophet. Because in the Old Testament, when somebody claimed to be a prophet and claimed to be speaking all words of God, that God revealed to him, that prophet did a miracle to prove that he was from God. And if you want to talk about the New Testament, the apostles did the signs of an apostle to prove that they had the authority to speak the word of God. So I said, give me a miracle. Well, of course, he ended up saying that I was of the devil, and he walked out, thankfully. That all occurred after church was over, by the way. After everybody had left, I had sat down and talked with him because he was a visitor. Found out later that he was kicked out of 6 churches in this town already. I'm glad I didn't have to kick him out. He just left of his own accord when he could not face the Word of God. Anyway, verse 30. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. Again, there was a need for prophets and prophecies and revelations in the early church because the Scriptures had not yet been completed. And you know what? It is 9:17. We better take our break. I will be back in 1 minute. Please listen to this. You are listening to Scripture Verse by Verse Radio. My name is Michael Moret.
This is By the Way. People do the craziest things, a friend said to me. I'm embarrassed to belong to the human race. I think I'll resign. Well, I'm afraid that's simply not possible, although resigning may have crossed our minds. And while there may be a variety of groups and movements and attitudes and activities to which we might choose not to belong, there is one group from which we would never, ever wish to resign. The most powerful and meaningful belonging of all comes from a gracious God. He tells us in His holy word, we are His. He chose us. He calls us by name. We belong to His family. We are brothers and sisters of Christ who made it all possible. In this family, I can feel safe and accepted and loved and understood. This is By the Way.
And with fair skies in Wausau, it's 35 degrees at 9:18. Welcome back to Scripture Verse by Verse Radio. We're currently studying about spiritual gifts. As we go verse by verse through 1 Corinthians, we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's pick up our study in verse 32, where he says, let's read 31 along with it. He says, For you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. And then he says in verse 32, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the control of the prophets. That means the Holy Spirit will never force a Christian to do anything. The Holy Spirit does not grab a hold of a Christian and make them prophesy or make them speak in tongues or make them do anything. That's just not how it works. The Holy Spirit is very passive. He will encourage you on the inside. He will convict you to do this or that, but He never forces anybody to do anything. That's just not how God operates. God, the Holy Spirit, is passive. And I point that out because there's a lot of things that go on in Pentecostal and charismatic churches that simply contradict this fundamental teaching of Scripture. I had a woman call me a couple of years ago, a friend of mine who loves the Lord, no doubt about it. She called me, though. She goes to a Pentecostal church, and she said, Mike, you should have been there. The Holy Spirit grabbed a hold of me. First thing He did was He knocked me straight on my back, and flat on my back, and I couldn't get up. And I couldn't open up my eyes, and I couldn't move. Well, that makes the Holy Spirit, you know, appear to be a pro wrestler or something. He pinned me to the floor, and I couldn't get up. And then I tried to read a word of God, but the Holy Spirit blurred my eyes. I stopped her. I said, hey, wait a minute. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wouldn't knock you to the ground. The Holy Spirit wouldn't hold you down so that you couldn't get up. And the Holy Spirit certainly wouldn't blind your eyes so that you couldn't see the book that He says He wants you to read. That's just not how the Spirit works. The spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. In other words, God the Holy Spirit may want you to do something, or He may give you a gift that He wants you to use, but He doesn't force you to do something, and He doesn't force you to use the gift, or He doesn't force you to stay on your back. So be careful that anything that is done in church or in your life lines up with Scripture. Verse 32 and verse 33. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, to the control of the prophets, for God is not the God of disorder, but of peace. God works in an orderly manner. You know, some Christians think, and I've had so many good Christian friends, Pentecostals and charismatics, and they're good friends, and they truly love the Lord. But some of them honestly believe that the only time the Holy Spirit is leading in a church service is when everything is spontaneous and totally unplanned. Like, the Holy Spirit cannot lead through careful planning. That's simply not true. And again, it's not biblical either, because God works through careful planning, and He works through orderliness. You see that throughout the Bible. God says, do this thing this way, and this way, and this way, and this way, at this time. I mean, there's more careful planning orchestrated by God through the Holy Spirit than there is off-the-wall spontaneous things. Again, the need for biblical instruction is so critical to prevent us from being led astray. We move on, last part of verse 33. As in all the congregations of the saints, women should remain silent in the churches. They are not allowed to speak, but must be in submission, as the law says. Talking about church services, the Bible teaches that in the church, Christian women should not be in positions, especially where they instruct men, and they should be inconspicuous. And he goes on in verse 35. If they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husbands at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church. You know, they shouldn't try to run the show. And they should be inconspicuous. Women are not to take control. They are not to take the role of leadership in church. Women are to be modest and have that modest demeanor, not just in dress, but in attitude as well. And stay away from anything that would come across as being ostentatious. And they shouldn't be in the spotlight in any way at all in the church. Verse 36. Did the word of God originate with you? Or are you the only people it has reached? The Corinthian church, I mean, they had a lot of problems. And the reason Paul brought this up about, or I should say the Holy Spirit through Paul, brought this up about women remaining silent in the church is because the women in Corinth were responsible. It was mostly women who were responsible for false prophecies, the abuse of the gift of tongues, and other things similar to that. And the Corinthian church, I mean, they were just proud as could be of how they were, even though they were completely unbiblical in so many ways. The Corinthian church thought they were really special. And they thought, well, other local churches were, you know, behind the times compared to us. They thought they were on the cutting edge of God's revelation. And if they taught and practiced something that was contrary to the apostles' doctrine, well, then it was the apostles who were off kilter spiritually, not them. 37. If anybody thinks he's a prophet or spiritually gifted, let him acknowledge that what I'm writing to you is the Lord's command. If he ignores this, he himself will be ignored. In other words, no one has the right to teach something contrary to the Bible and call it Christian. It's got to line up with what is written. And if somebody does teach something that is contrary to Scripture, they ought to be rejected as a false teacher. 39. Therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues. Again, you know, don't say that all speaking in tongues is what he is saying. Don't say that it's all of the devil or it's all of the flesh or it's all wrong. Those who would say that all speaking in tongues is of the devil or it's all in the flesh, and some do, some say that, they're going too far. And yeah, there's a lot of abuse in this matter today, as there was back in Corinth. But it's not right to put God in a box and say, he doesn't do it anymore, period. Not if God has not said that, and he hasn't. And again, during church, Paul said, I'd rather speak five words in a known language than thousands of words in a tongue. That's why in our church service, there's no speaking in tongues. We teach the Word of God because we know that's the Word of God. But this is talking about for private use and in other settings, perhaps. Verse 40. But everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. Again, God is not the author of confusion in the church or any place else for that matter. So, Christians who speak so piously against formal leadership in the church and orderliness in the church, they're often the type of people who want to run the deal themselves. That's what I've learned that over the past 30 years. That's usually the way it is. The people who come down against authority in the church, in favor of, quote-unquote, the leading of the Holy Spirit, which is nothing more than them wanting things to be done their way. They equate their desires, their feelings, their so-called word from God with the leading of the Holy Spirit. And boy, oh boy, if somebody rejects their pious nonsense in favor of God's word, well, then they just insist that that's not a Spirit-led church. And they usually end up not going anywhere. Or they start their own little group on Sunday morning or in their house, whatever, where it can be led of the Holy Spirit, really led by them. Everything needs to be done decently and in order. That's God's way. And that's what he demands in his church. And if you have any questions or comments for me, you can write me at Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. If you would rather email me, you can do that. I can be emailed at vbyvmm@aol.com. That's vbyvmm@aol.com. Your questions, your comments are always appreciated. I would appreciate hearing from you. If you want more of the Word of God, you're welcome to go to the Scripture Verse by Verse website. You can study the entire Bible online for free with my audio Bible commentaries. And I encourage you to make the most of this. It's an opportunity for you to study the Word of God. Won't cost you a thing, and it's there for your benefit. And that web address is meret.org. That's meurett.org. Again, meurett.org. If you're looking for some place to worship on Sunday morning, you're more than welcome to join us. As I mentioned earlier, it's a simple service, lasts about 50 or 55 minutes. Straight to the point, pointed at Jesus, focused on Christ, and you get the Word of God verse by verse. Sunday morning, 10 o'clock at Island Place here in Wausau. That's right next to Oak Island in Wausau. Until tomorrow at 9 o'clock. This is Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.